Quick, somebody call the ACLU. We got a situation here. We've got workers who are being grossly underpaid, at least compared to the other workers, right? I mean, was there not an agreement, a contract in place for a denarius a day? That was what was agreed on, correct? But now, instead of going by what was agreed on, we're going to go by what's happening to everybody else. We're going to go to the court of public opinion. We're going to take a survey. We're going to get information. We're going to get the masses all riled up. And whatever the people think is fair, well, that's what it should be. Sound familiar? What is the law of the land? Where does it come from? What is it that you cling to? What is it that you trust in? You see, our Heavenly Father had made a contract long ago, an agreement. It actually was kind of a one-sided contract or agreement. They exist. If you study history, you'll learn more about them. But it started back in Genesis chapter 3. It started when heaven and earth, as it were, heaven not meaning just stars and solar system, but heaven meaning the presence of God, and earth meaning where you and I and all people have always lived, when they were separated. Separated because of sin. When exactly did heaven and earth get separated in that sense? Well, when Adam and Eve got booted out of the garden. Remember that? When they failed to remember one simple law, there weren't 10 holy commands back then. There weren't the 613 some law codes invented by the Jews as they did when they were in exile. Oh, no, there was just one. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree of what? There were two trees, do you remember? Do you remember which tree? The tree of the, can't hear you, knowledge of good and evil. That's right. The other tree was the tree of life. Two trees, huh? Interesting. Two trees there in the midst of heaven and earth joined together, where God, as we sing in so many popular gospel hymns, where he walked with me and he talked with me, where Adam and Eve and God together had a beautiful relationship, where they walked around without clothes on and it didn't bother them, and everything was good and right. There was no sin. But that one little command, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, well, we know what happened, right? They ate, both Adam and Eve, and they both tried to blame somebody else. They both tried to take the focus off of themselves. Eve tried to place the blame on the serpent, and Adam, well, he tried to place the blame on his wife. Sound familiar? And so heaven and earth split, fractured, if you will. And then as God is promising the curses that are to come, the effects of sin, because they will come. If you think you can get away with certain sins, if you think you can ignore the law of God, well, you've got another thing coming. Those of us that are parents have tried to teach that to our children. But one of the things you learn as a parent is you also have to kind of, it sounds strange to say this, let them make mistakes. Not let them as in you approve of that and you're okay with that, but sometimes lessons have to be learned the hard way, and that's one of the hardest things for a parent to deal with. Which makes me wonder how much our Father's heart in heaven breaks for us when we forget His holy law, when we have to make such, well, stupid mistakes. God in His love, however, made a promise in Genesis chapter 3. After all the effects of sin were pronounced, that death would enter the world, that Adam and Eve would no longer be able to live in the Garden of Eden, no longer literally to be in the presence of God all the time, God promised that there would come one, an offspring of the woman, who would crush the head of the serpent, one who would bring life and immortality to light. And we gather here as Christians on this seventh day of the week, or as we talked about last week, really the eighth day, the new day, the day in which we celebrate our Lord's resurrection from death, from his work of crushing the devil's head through his crucifixion upon another tree, the tree on Golgotha, where he shed his blood for you, to cover over your sins, to make payment and restitution, that heaven and earth now in him might be reunited. I hope you gather here today as a Christian because you firmly believe and cling to that, that heaven now is opened to you and I as we live on earth here in the divine service where God's word and sacraments are given for you as a gift, where you're reminded to live daily in your baptism covered with simple water and his word, which now connects you to the one who not only shed blood but water from his side on the cross, but the one who now is heaven itself and has all authority given to him, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because being connected to him now means that, well, you're connected to heaven, that you have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and now frees you. It now provides you with an enormous source of comfort and hope, that even when things seem unfair in this life, that other people are getting paid more than you, or that they're getting treated better than you, that you have the knowledge and assurance that in Christ you have everything, and that your Father in heaven cares for you. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's where good works come from his work to us. These workers didn't like that the ones that had worked only an hour received the same wage, but you notice Jesus is not talking about regular times for us. He says quite clearly, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Jesus isn't setting new standards here by which we should run our businesses and pay our workers. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says so himself. Because the kingdom of heaven now is all about faith, simple faith. It's really so simple. Many Christian denominations, including I think sometimes our own, try to make it more difficult than what it is. But that was the beauty, not only of the Reformation, but just the beauty of Scripture, is that the righteous shall live by faith, which is how you should live, do live. Faith and trust in the one who hung upon a tree there for you, displacing all of your sins, those you were born with as you're connected to Adam and Eve, and those that you do and those you have yet to do. He comes to set you free, to have faith and trust in him that heaven is now open to you and that there's so much yet to come. If you read this section here of Matthew 20, Jesus is not just talking to the disciples. He's not just talking to those who believe in him. He's talking as well to the Jews who surround him, those who still reject him. You might remember, or if you have come through Scripture, you might have found this a little bit odd, phrases like when Jesus says, I came first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And you say to yourself, whoa, where does that leave me? Well, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. So it's pretty much Jews and then everybody else. But that's where faith comes in, is such a beautiful thing. You see, for the Jews, they had this promise from God going all the way back to Genesis 3. And then they had, you might remember, oh yeah, Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had, okay, yeah, we don't have to sing the whole thing. You know it. The promise was made to Abraham now that his descendants, those connected to him, would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. That God would bless all nations through Abraham, which means that you needed to be connected to Abraham, literally, genealogically, family tree. So the Jews took great pride and being connected and being able to chase their ancestry all the way back to Abraham. And they thought, oh, yes, this is what will save us. You see, they were the first. When Jesus says, the last will be first and the first will be last. They are the first now to whom the grace and mercy of God is bestowed. But they threw it all away. They made not only their own laws, they disregarded God's law. Look at God's people as well, rescued out of Egypt. 10 amazing events occur. The Red Sea is parted. Again and again and again, and here in the text today, water comes out of a rock. But yet they continue to doubt. They continue to reject. And Paul reminds the church at Corinth and you and me as well that I want you to know, brothers, our fathers were all under that cloud, right? Cloud of, you remember? Fire by day. Fire by night and cloud by day. They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Baptized, meaning the kingdom of heaven, came down from earth to be with them. You see that? Heaven was opened in this way. And all of them ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. Part of why we make such a big deal about the Lord's Supper. You see? It's not just regular food. It's sacramental food, mysterious. It's bread and wine where Jesus says now, here in with and under is my body and blood. You get that? It's why it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. To have your confession of faith tested or even the simple question asked, what do you believe? That you may joyfully say, yes! In faith, I believe this, and I want this. And the master of the house, well, your Lord Jesus comes and gives you what you need. Because the rock that was in the Old Testament was Christ, and the rock for your life still today is Christ. And the water now that is provided for you in your baptism is so powerful. The bread and wine that you eat and drink, so amazing. To equip you now to live in this life, to do good works for your neighbor, to live in your vocation as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, even a citizen. Not to get all up in arms when things get unfair, but rather to live by faith and trust that God will provide for you. For you've been saved. You've been rescued. You've been forgiven. And more than that, heaven is open to you even here on earth. God grant us such simple faith that we may serve this new year with his blessings upon us. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.